Thank God for the fountain. Amen. 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 The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen. Revelation 1:5 says, "Now unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Amen. I'm glad that God loved me before he washed me, but I sure am glad he washed me. Amen. Amen. I sure am thankful that I'm clean.
Amen.
I'm clean today. Not because of any work that I've done. Not because of me. I'm clean because of the work that he has done.
Amen.
And because of Jesus. Well, we've been going through these 10 commandments. And today we're going to get into table number 2. Moses was given 2 tables of stone. I don't know that they were, the first 4 on the first table and the last 6 on the second. I know there's a division there. There's those first 4 that we call those vertical commandments. They go up to God. Have no other gods before me. Right? No graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then we looked at last week, we looked at remember the Sabbath day. And we talked about how we can make the Lord's day, which is that transition from the Sabbath to this new covenant, how we can make the Lord's day a good day. It's a day we ought to come together in the house of the Lord. It ought to be a holy day. It ought to be a healthy day. It ought to be a happy day. This ought to be the happiest day of the week. It's the first day of the week.
Amen.
It's the day when Jesus came out of the grave.
Amen.
We ought to celebrate that. You say, well, I'm waiting for Easter. Why wait for Easter when you can celebrate it every day? But you can certainly celebrate it every Lord's Day. And now we're going to get into table number 2. Commandment number 5. I call these the horizontal. And this is man with man. You know, Jesus said upon these 2, right? Upon these 2. There's no greater commandment than these. Mark chapter number 12, he said that. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so he starts out with, I think, a very, very important commandment. When he starts talking about the horizontal relationship, the relationship with man with man. And he said, honor, if you'll notice in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Now, these 10 commandments are also found in Exodus chapter number 20, but I've chosen Deuteronomy because it's here that we learn that these commandments are for the home. Now, I think that our country was a better country when we had them in our schools.
Amen.
I think our country was a better country when we hung them in our workplaces, in places of industry, and when they were out in the public arena. But now, I want to tell you, that's not originally why these commandments were given and where they were told to be hung. They were told to be hung in chapter number 6 of Deuteronomy, in thy house, in thy home. Teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. And so I've tried to encourage you, and I've tried to be reminded myself that these 10 commandments are for the home. They're for the family. All right? They're for you to teach your children, me to teach my children. They're for us to not only teach our sons, but our sons' sons, our grandchildren, and to generations as they multiply and move forward. And so we've looked at these and we've talked about how that God are given these commandments not to hinder, to harm. God gives these commandments basically saying, don't harm yourself. Right? When God says don't do something, he's not saying I want to take the fun out of your life. He said I want to prevent you from harming yourself. He's putting up guardrails. He's putting up parameters. It's safety buffers to help us. Brethren, we'd go running and jump off a precipice if it wasn't for the grace and restraint of God. Amen. We just would. Man's bent that way. Man in sin is bent that way. And so God said, don't harm yourself. And then he said, but not only don't harm yourself by what thou shalt not do, but he said, help yourself by what thou shalt do. This is going to help you. It's going to help you. So he said, don't harm yourself. Help yourself. And so he said, these are for Godward and then manward. Now, if you'll look at in chapter number 5 of Deuteronomy, We're going to be in verse 16, and this is going to be more of a topical, and I've tried to stay topical. I like expositional. I like to be expository in my preaching, but it's kind of, you know, when we're talking about one verse of Scripture, I can be textual, but I want to show you some things that's surrounding this. I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 17. Thou shalt not kill. We're going to get to that. And then in verse number 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. We're going to get to that. And then he said in verse number 19, neither shalt thou steal. We're going to get to that. And then he said in verse number 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, don't lie. Then he said in verse number 21, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. He said, don't you covet what others have. Appreciate what you have. Don't covet what others have. But now before he said any of that, he said, I'm going to put someone in your life that should teach you this. And it's not the preacher. I'm glad for preachers. I'm glad God called me to preach. I talked Friday night as I talked to the young people and the adults a lot about passion. I believe passion is connected to purpose. The reason there's so many people that just kind of wander through life with no aim and no zest is because they haven't found their purpose. When you find your purpose, brother, listen to me, ma'am. When you find your purpose, you will have a passion about that purpose. But the reason a lot of folks have no zest, they have no passion, they haven't found their purpose. And I pray to God that you find out why you were born. So I know when I was born. Well, that's the lower end. The higher end is knowing why you were born. That's right. Know why you're here. What's your purpose? Well, God has a purpose for parents. And it's not what's being portrayed by Hollywood, by television and media and music. In the eyes of these Mongols, the parents are just some bumbling fools who have no idea what to do in the home. We don't know what to do. Let's get Junior. He'll tell us, you know. Because Junior has all the answers. Junior doesn't have near all the answers. Junior needs dad and mom in his life. Because dad and mom's been farther down the road, and dad and mom have some experience, and dad and mom have some things that God has instilled in them to help little Billy and little Sally. Somebody say amen with me. Now, I know what's being betrayed in the world today, the system. And that is that dad can't even get out of his own way. You know, when I was growing up, we watched shows like Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith. I still do, by the way. You know, I'm still growing up. I still do. Father Knows Best. Can I tell you, they'd never make a program today called Father Knows Best. It'd be Father Knows Nothing. Father Knows Less. Because Father can't even get out of the room on his own. He trips over his own feet. He's just a person who's out of it. He has no clue what's going on. He's got to get the kids involved so they can tell him what's going on out there. See, that's the way Hollywood paints the home. But that's not the way God desires the home to be. God desires the home to be a man and a woman and children and a family. And that man be the leader of that home and be a strong leader and lover of his wife and his children, and mom to be a supporter and to come in and aid and stand by his side, and those children to be like olive branches around the table that are nurtured and productive and that have some character instilled in their life, you see. We celebrate everything but character today. That bothers me. I hope that bothers you. We celebrate intelligence, and it ought to be celebrated. We celebrate talent, and it ought to be celebrated. But when's the last time you celebrated character? We need to celebrate character, and we need to teach it and instill it. I'm glad your child made an A. But does he know how to say thank you? Does he know how to say may I? Does he know how to say please? Does he know how to clean his room? He aced the test, but can he mop a floor? Amen. You see, we've forgotten the things that God, that means something to him. I'm not saying these others don't mean anything. And I want to just talk to you from my heart. Listen, I have pored over this and I've prayed over this and I've said, God, give me something that'll challenge us all. We need to be challenged, brethren. I'm not okay with the way things are in this old world. I'm not okay with it. I'm not going to fit in that mold by the grace of God. I don't have all the answers, but I have a book that does. And I want to stay true to this book right here. And I believe you do too. Now, I believe there's a healthy balance, and we've talked about that. And so before God goes into thou shalt not kill and steal and commit adultery and lie and covet, he said, honor thy father and thy mother. He said, because they're going to teach you some things that you need to know about life. You see, your parents are going to be your first example of what God is like. They're going to teach you about authority. Now, I'm going to speak primarily to the children this morning and bring the parents in. And then, children, you bring your parents to church tonight. I'm going to talk to them. And I'll bring you in. Honor thy father and thy mother. Boy, I tell you, our culture and our country is far removed from that commandment. What's it to mean, preacher? Well, I don't want to talk to you about what I believe the Bible teaches as a whole about parents and children and how this thing of honor comes into play. All right? I want you to think about this. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want you to think about when you're young, you are to obey them. When you're young, you're to obey your parents. Say, well, my parents don't know everything. You don't either. But God does. And he said, obey them. That's right. Look at Colossians chapter 3, if you would. We're going to turn to some scripture. And so you say, well, I don't know my way around the Bible well. Well, we're going to help you out. We're going to give you some practice today. Colossians chapter number 3. If you don't know where a book in the Bible is, just look in the front, the table of contents. It'll tell you. There's no shame in that. I want you to see these scriptures. I want to preach the word of God to you. I want you to see what God says about this, because God is always right. Amen. He's always right. Now, there's something that God said in that commandment. We'll get back to it in Deuteronomy. He said that it may be well with thee. So I'm not going to do it. It's not going to be well with you then. Well, I'll break that commandment. Can I tell you, you've never broken a commandment. The commandments are still in place. The commandments break you. There's been many before you that tried to break them, and they still stand. That's right. We talk about breaking a commandment. You don't break commandments, they break you. That's right, brethren. Here in Colossians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse number 20, Paul's talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. He's talking about letting the words of Christ dwell in you richly. And in verse number 20, he said, children, obey your parents in all things. Now look at that. Obey your parents in all things. Look what he said after that. He said, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, God is pleased with you. You say, was God proud of me? We heard that in Sunday school this morning. He's pleased with you when you obey your parents. Which means when you do not obey your parents, God is not pleased with you. When you disobey your parents. And so the scripture says, children, obey your parents in all things. Now look at it again here in verse number 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. If we're not going to turn to Ephesians, but it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In other words, as God is leading them, as God tells them, say, well, what if my parents tell me to do something that is counter to the Scripture? Well, you know, I don't know very many that would do that, but there are those that would. But you obey your parents in the Lord, and you obey them in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. to obey them. I realize that today's culture, and I realize what I'm up against here this morning, but brethren, I want to try to help you today, so I want you to give close attention to what I'm going to say this morning. I would expect it no other morning, but this morning I think is a root problem that is the reason for our country spiraling out of control. We are on a moral free fall. And it's because we have parents who will not discipline and teach and expect and even demand obedience from their children. And so I want to help you this morning. Say, well, I'm struggling, preacher. There might be some child here say, well, that's one of my weaknesses. I'm going to tell you, God doesn't look at it as weakness. God looks at it as wickedness. He said, it's wicked when you disobey your parents. I want to read it one more time before we turn to some scripture to show you how God views this sin. It is a sin. Listen, God only gave 10 commandments now. All right? I want you to think about the weight of this commandment. Only 10. But one of them was, you honor your father and your mother. And he gave it right at the top. When it came with man dealing with man, he said, your parents are going to teach you how to navigate yourself through this life. You better listen to them. Amen. God gave you to your parents, and he gave your parents to you. And there's a reason that God did it that way. There's a reason that God put an age and that God put a specific purpose around marriage and family. It's because God wanted people that are raising up those little babies to have something, brethren, to instill, you see. God made it that way. God made it that way. And so he said, now when you're young, you obey them. Turn, if you would, to Romans. Romans chapter number 1. Would you do that? And I'm just going to read some scripture to you. It speaks for itself. In Romans chapter 1, we looked at this in detail when we were going through the book of Romans, and we will get back to that after our summer family series here. But the scripture says I want you to look at verse number 28 of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look in verse number 28, what the scripture says. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Are you there? Romans 1 verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What, does that sound up to date? And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. Well, I'm going to tell you something. A society is in trouble when God gives them over. A person is in trouble when God gives them over. A church is in trouble when God gives it over. When God removes the candlestick. When God says, I'm turning you over. Brother, you listen to me. That's not a place you want to be. So sometimes I wish these Christians just leave me alone. You don't want God to leave you alone, friend. You don't want God to leave you alone. Some of the saddest words that you'll read in the book of Romans is right here. God gave them over. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A mind void, unconscious to the reality of God, brethren. Think about it. Think about that. Think of the weight of that statement. God gave them over to do those things, the latter part of verse 28 says, which are not convenient. Verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Watch it now. Disobedient to parents, right in the midst of some of the most heinous, hellish, wicked sins known to man, God's put disobedient to parents. I realize we live in a country today that does not take disobedience of any sort seriously. But God does. Now, Mom and Dad, I want you to listen to me for a moment. It is our place to instill in our children respect and obedience to the authority figures that God has put in their life. And it starts at home. Yes. Don't you let your children disobey you. Don't you let them tell you no. Don't you let them run the show. You're messing up. You're setting your children up for failure, and I know you don't want to do that. What parent would want to set their children up for failure? No parent. No parent want to set their children up for failure. But I'm going to tell you something. A child's not born knowing how to honor. A child's not born knowing how to obey. You have to teach a child not to steal. You don't teach them to steal. You have to teach a child not to lie. You don't teach them to lie. You have to teach a child to be obedient. You don't have to teach them to be disobedient. One of the first words that will come out of that little baby's mouth is no. You know what I'm talking about, parents. You know what I'm talking about. Give it to Daddy. No. Oh, we're going to have to deal with that. Amen. Yeah. You say, I'm not going to deal with it, preacher. Well, he'll be telling you no when you're telling him something far more important than hand it over to Daddy. And so the scripture says here as we read on now in verse number 31, without understanding covenant breakers, without natural affection. I tell you, the list just keeps getting worse. Folks won't even know what to love and who to love. Isn't that the world we live in today? People don't know what to love and who to love. People talk about love like it's in a gumball machine. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So God said, I take disobedience to parents very, very seriously. I do too. And I hope that you do. And that goes for dad, mom, little son, and little daughter. It's important. Don't rob your child of the blessing of God on their life by not teaching them obedience. Invest in your children's life. Spend time teaching, disciplining them, and helping them to understand the importance of obedience. Amen? Turn, if you would, now to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're talking about when you're young, you obey your parents. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I said chapter 2, but it's chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3, again, we have some exhortation about, well, the end days, and we have some exhortation about the last days and the end of time, and says in verse number 1, this know also, I'm in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I think we're in the last days. if I just had that to go on. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Boasters. Proud. Blasphemers. You ready for the next one? Disobedient to parents. I want you to notice what happens as the Holy Spirit of God moved on the Apostle Paul after he put disobedient to parents. And I want you to look at the attitude that follows. I have been a pastor for 37 years. And I have watched families and I've watched homes and I've watched people that will not take the things of God seriously. And I can honestly before God and you today say that I have watched parents that will allow their children to be disobedient without consequences. And I've seen those children follow this pattern. disobedient to parents, follow along, unthankful. I think it was Shakespeare that said, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth than to have an unthankful child." Unthankfulness is a sin that is a disgrace to God. Unthankful. Look at the next one. After disobedient to parents, it's unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. In other words, it's always someone else's fault. False accusers. It's never my fault. It's them. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Ah, they just think they're goody two-shoes. They think they're better than I am. I'm sick and tired of these Pharisees thinking they're holier than thou. Why don't you be holier than someone? Amen. Why don't you let God do a work in your heart and be a righteous, circumspect, upright individual? Amen. Amen. Traitors. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, don't you miss this. Paul, what do you think about it? He said, well, God told me to tell you this. You just have a form of godliness. If your religion, now you hear me now, if your religion, if your profession doesn't cause you to be obedient to your parents, it's stale. It's weak. It's just a form. There's something about when God moves in your heart that causes you to reverence authority, to reverence your daddy, to reverence your mother. Someone tell me they're saved and all right with God and they're talking back to dad and mom and rolling their eyes and smart mouthing and talking back. Listen, I'm going to tell you, God said you've got a form. And I'm telling you what the book says. I'm not mad at you. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to think that God's okay with that. You say, well, I'm young. And while you're young, obey your parents. You see, they were young, but now they're old. And they've seen some things that you haven't seen. Sometimes we just need, when I was a kid, we shut our mouth and opened our ears. And I think now it's the exact opposite. We've shut our ears and opened our mouths. We allowed our children to shut their ears and open their mouths when they come in the room. When I walked in the room with elders, listen, brother, I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but God still had a standard in that day. When I walked in, my mom said, you're to be seen and not heard. Amen. You say, well, I'm not going to live that way. Well, I think it would help some folks to kind of transition to that. And I'm just laying it out here because, brethren, we're in a day to where there's no training of our children. There's no demanding. There's no bar set. There's no expectation. Your children, and I'll be preaching more on this tonight, your children want limitations. You say, oh, I don't think you know my children. I know your children. Everybody wants and needs limitations. That's right. Limitations bring security. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. This is God's word. This is not Freemanology. This is the word of God. When you're young, obey your parents. Obey them. It's right. It's what God said to do. Your parents are going to make mistakes. You see, young people, I give you an opportunity to say amen, and you done turn me off and won't even say amen. Your parents are going to make mistakes. I heard a little faint amen somewhere, amen. Somebody was afraid. I was looking up at dad. Amen. I think amen. And you are too. There's none of us perfect. You know, I used to think that it was my job as a dad to be perfect to my children, but I found out my children don't expect me to be perfect. They just want me to be real. Children are looking for transparency, and they're looking for some guidance. A lot of things that our young people put on, brethren, it's just show. It's not real. They don't know how to navigate through this world. They need some assistance. And God has put you and I as a parent in their life to give them some assistance. Don't let them down. Don't let them down. So when you're young, obey them. But you know what? You don't stay young all your life. Genesis chapter 2 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, you know, those that you're to honor. You're going to leave them one day, and you're going to cleave unto your wife. You're going to set up shop on your own. Then you're going to find out it wasn't as easy as it looked when you were 16 years old. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. That's right. Then you're going to find out what it means to really pay the bills. You thought giving that little $25 a week was way too much. I can't believe I'm giving, you know, a little money around here. Well, you know, when you start paying all the bills, you'll be looking for somebody to give you some money too. Somebody say amen with me. Amen. But you do. You're going to grow up. And listen, we want you to. We want you to grow up healthy. And we want you to grow up with the right perspective of life and the right attitude toward God and His Word and His people and your place and His plan. And it'll help if you'll listen to your parents in that process. All right? Number two. So when you grow up, what? Do I still obey them? Well, you obey them when you're young, but you care for them and help them when they're old. Because as you leave that younger state, they get older. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. And because of time, I'm just going to take you to a couple of verses of Scripture. Okay? Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Now, a lot of times when we go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we say, well, you know, the Apostle Paul there is dealing. You just have to turn a couple of chapters back. We were in 2 Timothy 3. Turn back to 1 Timothy 5. So let's talk about widows. Well, I know that. But then Paul makes a statement at the latter part. In verse number 3, he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And then he said in verse number 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite, watch this now, their parents. Well, there's some words here that we don't use a whole lot. I could show you some other scriptures in Leviticus. If you want to write these scriptures down, you can turn to them. I'm not going to. But if you would, look at Leviticus 19:32. Write that down when you get home. Proverbs 22:23. Do you know when Jesus was on the cross, dying for the sin of mankind, there was something weighing heavy on his heart. You know what it was? He looked down at John and he said, behold, thy mother. Take care of my mother, John. I want to see that my mom's taken care of. It do us well to take care of those when they get up into some age or when they can't take care of themselves too. So, well, you know, it kind of put me out. Well, I'm sure you've never put them out. Might cost me a little money. Well, I'm sure that you didn't cost them any money. Can I just say this? I realize that everybody's situation is a little different. Okay, I don't know your situation. I don't know your situation. But if you can take care of your parents as they get older, you ought to be there to care for them and help them. Amen. You ought to do that. Amen. It's not the government's place, brother. You can say amen right there.
Amen.
It's not. It's not even the church's place. Now, we're to take care of widows, and we're to help them, and we do here, and we could do more, and I'm asking God to help us and help me to do more. We've started a Glorious Day class. I just want to take care of the elderly. I believe God honors that. But what's my place as a son? What's your place as a daughter, a son? Well, look, if you would here. I'll give you a few things, and then I'll get to my final point, and I'll be through this morning, okay? So I said, when you're young, obey them. Obey your parents. Obey your parents. It'll be well with thee. Young people, it'll be well with you. And parents, don't let your children disobey you. I'm shocked Listen, I said I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor, or assistant pastor. I've been in ministry for 37 years. I've been in a lot of homes. I've gone in homes where a dog would come running at me. And I'm a dog magnet. You know, some people say they are a chick magnet. I'm a dog magnet, okay? I'm telling you right now. I go, the dogs just start coming to me. They just do. And I've had folks just say, "Sit!" Man, that dog was stopping. I mean, almost like they shot it with some kind of gun, and it just froze, you know, and it just sit there. And I thought, wow, that's impressive. And then little Johnny comes through turning cartwheels and somersaults, right? And say, "Sit!" Little Johnny just keeps turning cartwheels. I'm thinking, man, it worked for the dog, but it's not working for Johnny. What's going on? We are investing more in the training of things that don't need to be trained instead of in the things that do need to be trained.
Right.
Amen. Train your children. Let's look at this. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, the scripture's talking about parents. It's talking about, in particular, widows. And it uses some words. I don't want you to miss this now. Look, if you would, in verse 4. It says, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them first show piety at home." At home. In other words, show some devotedness, some devotion, some reverence. That's what that word piety means. Show some reverence. Take care of those. Take care of that woman. And then it even says, look, if you would, take care of that widow. But it says, "And to requite their parents," plural. Take care of mom and dad. You know what the word "requite" means? Look it up. It means recompense, repay. Repay. They were there for you. You be there for them.
Amen.
We don't know what tomorrow holds. But if it pans out that way and you have that opportunity, God will bless your life for taking care of mom and dad.
Right.
Now, he will. I want to give you some scripture. I'm not going to turn to it. Write this scripture down, okay? Matthew 15, verses 3 through 9. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, "You know what? You say you honor your father and your mother." I want you to read this when you get home sometime. He said, "You say you honor your father and mother." He said, "But when they have a need, you say, 'Corban.'" That's in Mark chapter 7 is the word that's actually used. In other words, this money's allocated for God's use. And so I'm free. I don't have to use it to help my parents. Listen, what do you mean you don't have to use it? You get to help your parents. It's not you have to. You get to. Amen. It's a blessing. It's God's word. And so the scripture says, you be careful now. You be careful. If God gives that opportunity, you seize that opportunity and you take care of those who have taken care of you, your parents. Now, what if I don't? Notice what the scripture says here. Before I get to that, I want you to look at the latter part of verse number 4. That is good and acceptable before God.
Amen.
You see what God is doing here? When you're young, obey them. What? It's well-pleasing to the Lord. I want to find out what's well-pleasing to the Lord, and I want to get into that.
Yeah.
Say, I want to please God, preacher. Well, then obey your parents, young person. I want to do that is well-pleasing, good and acceptable before God, preacher. Then care for them when they get older. Take care of them. Be there for them. Look, if you would, as we're going down, look at verse number 8. Now, a lot of times we use this as a man not taking care of his children, but this is not the context in which the scripture is given in. The context in which the scripture is given in is children taking care of their parents. It says, but in verse number 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and not that he is an infidel. He's worse than an infidel. That word infidel means heathen. Unbeliever. Now I'm telling you what the book says, brethren. Honor thy father and thy mother. When you're young, obey them. You won't be sorry. God is well pleased with that. It will be well with you, and you will live long in the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. God will take care of you. And then it says, when you get older, help them, care for them. You'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to move to my final point. I just have some things I want you to write down on my final point. And that is honor them at all times. That's my final point. Obey them when you're young. Care for them when they're old. But you honor them at all times. All times. So I can't honor them. Well, I look at it this way. I've been in a courtroom. Now, I thank God I've always been there representing or trying to help someone else. I've never been there. And it's only by the grace of God. I want to make that very clear. And I've been called to testify on behalf of others. And when I stood up to testify and I went to the witness stand, and when I addressed that man, I addressed him as Your Honor. I don't know that man. I don't know if he's honorable or not. But I am recognizing his position. Yeah. And so I'm recognizing his position more than his character. I don't know his character. I don't know the man. I'm recognizing the place and the position of authority. And if nothing else, and I believe there's more in many, if not most, of folks that are here today, if nothing else, you recognize their position of authority that God has placed in your life through them. Okay? And so, as we transition back now, I want you to look back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And as I bring the message to a close today, I want to remind you, children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. That is. And parents, do not allow them to disobey you without consequences. Have structure. Have structure and discipline and firmness. Now, you can be firm and you can be fair and you can be fun. You can. Stay balanced in those areas. It's good for you. It's good for them. It's good for society. And God knew that. That's why He put it there. And then as they get older, now you be there for them. Don't let your parents do without. You tell your parents every day you love them. You send them a text. You write them a letter. You make a visit. You make a call. Listen, your parents ought to know how much you appreciate them. They certainly have let you know. Most parents let their children know how much they appreciate them. You let your parents know how much you appreciate them. It's good. It's good for all involved. And then finally, honor. Now, how can I honor my parents? I want to give you five things. Would you write them down? Would you just write them down? And then you think about how could I do this. Number one, show them respect. You show your parents respect. And that's whether you're old or young. Now, there's one thing that did not fly in the Freeman residence when my children were growing up. Now, my children were very respectful growing up because we trained them. But, you know, children will test limitations. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Raise your hand. Okay, a few of you's not living in Realville. You say, I missed the question. Would you ask that again, preacher? I want to raise both of my hands. Amen. Yeah, I know what you mean. And so, listen. They were there, but they didn't know. They didn't see this woman, my wife, go to the very brinks of death to bring them into this world. And that's what a mom goes through. And there's no way I'm going to let one of my children backtalk my wife after we have prayed and cried and wept over God's will for their life and done our very best to provide and protect. No child going to stand before me or their mother in my presence. And if I hear about it outside of my presence and roll their eyes or murmur or backtalk, that didn't fly in our home. Now, I didn't have to let them know what would happen. I didn't have to show them. I just let them know. And that's where it ended right there. You ever disrespect me or your mother, and this is not going to have a happy ending. Okay? And that's where it ended. And so you show your parents respect. Amen. At all times. God will honor that. Proverbs 20:20 says, now if you don't, God's going to deal with you. He'll put your lamp out. Read it. The Bible says if you don't respect your parents, if you don't have respect for the parents that God has given you, God is going to deal with you. You say, well, my parents are not. Well, God will take up where they let you down. Number two, express gratitude to them. Number one, show them respect. Number two, show them gratitude. Let them know that you're appreciative and you're thankful. It's not hard to be thankful. Just look around and see how God's blessed you. God has blessed us. Every person sitting in this sanctuary today is blessed. Number three, seek, listen, and heed their godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. They've been further down the road. You say, well, my parents are not smarter than me. Well, that's debatable. But even if you're right, they may not be smarter. And they may not be any better than you are. But now hear me now. They've been down the road further than you have, and they can warn you of things that are coming that they've already been through. So you take that into account. Experience counts for something. Number four, live nobly and righteously. We're talking about how you can honor your parents. Number one, you can respect them. That will honor them. Number two, you can be thankful. You can show gratitude. That will honor them. Number three, seek, listen, heed their counsel. That will honor them. Number four, live nobly and righteously. That will honor them. If you live shamefully, it's going to shame them. If you live circumspectly, then it's going to honor them. And then finally, show them love. Never forget that they were the first ones in your life. That they were there when you needed them most. When you couldn't even, you didn't even know how to feed yourself, they fed you. Didn't even know how to bathe yourself, they bathed you. Didn't know how to care for yourself, protect yourself, they cared for you and protected you. Love them. Well, it might do some of us good if your parents are still alive to go home and make a phone call, or maybe stop by on the way home. Maybe shoot them a text and say, I just want you to know that I love you. Once your parents are gone, the opportunities go with them. Please don't think, you can stand to your feet. Please don't think that you can put on a show, and listen, I'm for doing good at funerals. Don't take what I'm getting ready to say wrong. That you can say kind words and read mushy poetry and do all these things at a funeral, and that's going to make up for things you should have done and could have done in their life. Don't think that. It's not so. There's an old saying. Dead noses smell no roses. If your parents are still around, some of you, your parents brought you to church today. You ought to thank them for that. So I didn't even want to come. Thank them anyway. One day you'll see the value of what they're trying to do for you. Don't ever get up from a meal without saying, thank you, Mama. Thank you, Daddy. When they give you something, thank them for it. Cherish it. Mean something. Honor thy father and thy mother. My life has been better because God has taught me the truth of that commandment. He taught it to me when I got saved as a son. And he taught me as a father how to invest in my children so that they could honor their father and their mother. I didn't know. But I sure am glad that God showed me. Let's bow our heads together. How about you?